Good morning and welcome. The third hour of our get-together is underway. It's the Bob Rose Show. It's 8:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. All right, Michigan primary today. Interesting, on the Democrat side, you've got Abdul El Sayad taking on the state representative Haley Stevens. That's going to be interesting. The Abdul's a bit controversial. I mean, they're both left of center, but Haley Stevens, some polls show that she would do better against the Republican Mike Rogers in the general. But Abdul, it's a pretty tight race right now, so that'll be interesting. All right, so you got that going on. Just when you thought maybe there would be a little less controversy with women's sports, you know, the WNBA, they're in the news again. I'll get to that if you haven't heard me talk about it already. But even the women riding bicycles. Yep, the women's Tour de France has a new scandal. Guess what? There are teams that are accusing some of the riders of wearing padded bras. What? You want to get that endorsement deal? You better pump it up, young lady. I'd sad to say that, and I don't mean to sound sexist, but I didn't invent the phrase, you know, sex sells, so don't attack me. But this has nothing to do with that. Padded bra. Now, I could have went the other way and said, so that means they're not going to be wearing any sort of protection? No. Apparently, these padded bras act as what they're calling a chest fairing. Yeah. Look, you're trying to gain any edge you can. Think about aerodynamics, pedaling a bike. Doesn't take a rocket, well, maybe it does, a rocket scientist to figure out, you know, how these just minimal aerodynamic changes can affect how fast you're able to go. But apparently, it does. And in some ways, this is nothing new. That's why there's actually rules against it. They make it clear that you can't place objects on the chest or use clothing to alter the body shape of a rider. So basically, they're talking about a chest fairing, which alters the airflow around the body, thereby reducing overpressure on the thighs. As a result, the rider experiences less air resistance. Now, it's a tiny amount, but it's the Tour de France. You're pedaling many, many miles. And just that slight bit of edge can make a difference. It is not that you gain a benefit of tens of seconds with this in a time trial, but if you ride 20 to 30 kilometers, it can yield seconds that can be decisive. Wow. Now, they've proved it with extensive research into chest fairings, although it isn't known if he dove into the use of padded bras or not. But the research showed, the Dutch outlet reports, that you can achieve a reduction in air resistance up to 3.6%. Now, who knew that a padded bra could reduce air resistance? It's fascinating that you have people out there on both ends of this. One side is trying to gain an advantage, the other trying to find out where one might be gained. And here we are talking about padded bras. The team's upset about the faking of larger cup sizes, want the UCI jury to take action. They have an idea about what can be done. They could have padded bra inspectors, for lack of a better term. This is getting crazy. Yeah. They'd like to have a female juror check the riders in a closed tent immediately after the time trial to ensure that they are not hiding anything in their bras or under their aero clothing. That may solve the fake cup size and padded bra controversy, but what will they come up next? Where will they inject or pad or attempt to gain a competitive advantage? Wow. Who'd have thought? Trying to keep sports fair. That's not an easy endeavor. I mean, of course, you remember the baseball, like the steroid controversy and all that. Somebody trying to gain an edge. And this is just another one of those. But who would have thought it? Padded bras. I mean, well, once it's explained, it kind of makes sense. But still makes you shake your head just a little bit, doesn't it? You know, when you pay attention to news information and you search for the truth, as I have attempted to do, certainly over the last 30 years, there's times when you just, it's so obvious and you know you're right. And you're following instincts and you're following logic and you're following, you know, well, time spent on this planet helps too, experience. And this is just another story of when I share it with you, you're going to be like, yeah, big deal. But apparently it is a big deal for those on the left. And I'm talking about COVID. Former Biden White House COVID-19 response coordinator, Dr. Ashish Jha, J-H-A, revealed on a Sunday interview on CNN, of all places, that he believes COVID-19 was caused by a lab leak, and noting that this is a departure from his initial beliefs. Are you kidding me? This many years later, there is still, it's even controversial, or there's even a question about it? That's amazing. Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of people that invested in the lie that it was some wet market thing. I mean, how ridiculous. To me, that sounded ridiculous right from the get-go. And then you find out the other things. What? There's a lab right down the street that just happens to be working with bats. You're kidding, right? And apparently the type of bat, and I found this out, you know, early on, this type of bat exists about 500 or more miles away from the city of Wuhan. But yet you'd have fresh, because remember, that's the wet market thing. Had to be kind of fresh, you know, intermixture of maybe blood and stuff like that that could cause this thing to jump to humans, theoretically. There's not going to be any fresh bats there 500 miles from where they are. They were studying these things in the lab. They were working on gain of function. We were teaming up with the Chinese, which still, if Dr. Fauci was going to answer some questions, that would be one of them. Like, why, if anybody we could team up with, did you choose the Chinese? And if we're working on something that's of questionable legality, why were you working with anybody else? Well, in fact, I guess you could ask the question, well, why were you doing it at all? But that's kind of hard to get an answer to when he pled the fifth when asked questions 111 times. So here we are, former Biden White House COVID-19 response coordinator, Dr. Jha. During the interview, CNN's Dana Bash, who, by the way, just got into it with RFK Jr., I'll share some of that with you coming up, she highlighted how Jha had retweeted commentator Jamie Metzl's lengthy social media post saying that he believed COVID-19 originated from a lab leak at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. While the lab leak theory was widely disputed early in the pandemic, and some social media platforms restricted certain related claims under their COVID-19 misinformation policies, Jha responded by declaring in 2026, I pretty much agree with everything here. Meaning, yes, it does come from a lab. Now, why is this important? The only reason, well, there's several reasons why you want to rehash this whole thing. And RFK Jr., he really brings that to light. Basically, if we boil it all down, here's the premise here. Is the Constitution in effect all the time or not? You remember when it had the big hurricane, Katrina, hits New Orleans, and, you know, they have a state of emergency. Of course, hurricane hit. As part of that state of emergency, you had some authorities going house to house collecting people's firearms. Yeah. And here with the COVID thing, they were censoring. There was no free speech. Free speech was eliminated. If you read the Bill of Rights, there's probably a reason why it's number one. The freedom of speech. It is one of the several things, but one of the most important things that separates us from other governments in other countries. We can speak out against the government. We can give our opinions freely, but not during COVID-19. You couldn't go to church, but you could go to a liquor store. The Constitution shouldn't get put on hold because of a so-called emergency. In fact, that's exactly why you have a constitution, to protect you in times of so-called emergencies. 8:17 on the Bob Rose Show. Good morning and welcome. We've got a lot more coming up, including Clay Travis and $10 million he'll pay for a game. Details next. 97.3 The Sky. Sun is shining, another day, an awesome day, right here in front of you. Let's make the best of it, huh? Good morning and welcome. It is 8:22 on the Bob Rose Show. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Hey, you know, we've got the primary coming up. There's early voting and stuff like that. It's already taken place. I'm sorry, some of the mail-in stuff. But my point here is, you know, this race for the governor in Florida here obviously is critically important. Don't you want to know all you can about all the candidates? I spoke with Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins yesterday. You can find it on our podcast. That way, you'll never miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show. So listen for the podcast on Odyssey, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you normally go. Just search the Bob Rose Show and hit follow, and there you'll have it. Because don't you want to know as much as you can about the candidates? The position of governor. What a position if you think about it. We're talking about, you're like the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation. I think if Florida had, you know, its own economy, like measured as a country, I think we'd be like, I don't know, in the 12 or something, top 10 maybe even. Yeah, that's how big it is. Think about that job. That is a big job. You want somebody you feel like is totally capable and is going to be all in. And not just getting the job done, but doing it effectively. Look, we're coming off the heels of, you know, Governor DeSantis. He's maxed out. He's termed out. But man, you know, think about it. We went through COVID, and when other states really were suffering, you know, we started to turn it around very quickly. We're in great fiscal, a great fiscal situation here. I mean, you don't even have income tax. You don't realize what a difference that is, you know, in a state income tax. You know, just 4 or 5 points. That's a substantial part of your income. Thinking about that. I mean, unless you've got $4,000 or $5,000 laying around or whatever. I mean, that's substantial. And we don't have that here. And it appears that many of our leaders are going to help us to lower, you know, the cost of the tax that's put on our property. Yep, the property taxes. Of course, that's all controversial as well. It has its own set of issues. But the bottom line is there's a lot of important things that are going on in the state of Florida, a lot of good things. We want to keep that going. So the next governor, you know, we have to measure carefully, pay attention, listen, gather information, right? The old basics. All right, it is 8:25 right now. The WNBA, which continues to struggle to turn a profit, has received a very generous offer to live up to the league's stated political views and ideology. When Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham publicly stated that she believed women's sports should be for women and not for biological males, it set off a firestorm of hatred, anger, and public rebukes from much of the league. Remember, the league WNBA. The W stands for women, not world. Women. Several coaches spoke out against her, while her own head coach pretended as though she doesn't understand the biological differences between males and females. Wonder what that dating life is like. Players wore shirts with obvious pointed critiques of Cunningham's statement, which were then celebrated by their team's social media accounts. She's been booed as a visiting player, elbowed in the face, then called for a foul herself. All while some fans have been allowed to bring in signs expressing hatred toward her in the all-inclusive WNBA. I told you about the inclusive thing a long time ago. I told you about the tolerant thing a long time ago. Yes, yes, you become tolerant, maybe of other people's lifestyles and choices, but that's not enough. If you're not all in, then you're a phobe of some type. Right? Yeah. And those who want to be inclusive are inclusive to everybody except those they politically disagree with. Well, that's called exclusion. But shh, don't tell them. So, with virtually no other players or coaches issuing statements of support for Cunningham and instead near universal criticism and reality denial, OutKick founder and host of our afternoon show, Clay Travis, has a compelling offer for the league's team. Live up to what you believe in. Travis, who made such an offer in the past, upped it on Monday afternoon. He said, important announcement. I am upping my offer. $10 million for a head-to-head basketball game between the defending WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces and a boys' high school state title team of my choice. If the Aces beat my team, I will give them $10 million. Put your money where your mouth is. I'd say he's doing that. In a league that needs some financial help and support and anything that they can get, you would think $10 million could make a difference. $10 million, by the way, represents nearly a third of the Aces' estimated total annual revenue of $33 million. And all they have to do is play a high school boys' state title team to beat them? Shouldn't be hard, right? After all, there's no difference between males and females, right? Fever head coach Stephanie White said she grew up playing with the boys, correct? Wow. If you go in the Wayback Machine, there was this thing, Billie Jean King and a guy named Bobby Riggs, The Battle of the Sexes. And it got a lot of people to talk about it. I mean, talked about it for decades after. And Billie Jean King was, I mean, a world champion. This guy, Bobby Riggs, was a good club player, but club and older. And you know, they thought, well, because he's a male, he's going to win. He gave it a good shot. But he couldn't beat her. What about the high school boys? Can they beat a WNBA championship team? I don't think it's like a slam dunk. Might be a bit of a layup. I'd be interested to see it. Would you watch? 8:29 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got a lot more coming your way. Headlines, top stories, News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Yeah. Good morning. Pump it up and giddy up. Yep, it's time to take on the day. I know, it's well underway. It's 8:35 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Welcome, welcome, my friends. Some of your top stories. President Trump called off the planned military strikes, warned Tehran that renewed talks are its last chance. And what did he say a few days ago? Last chance. What did he say a couple months ago? Last chance. And Trump is a guy that usually when he draws a red line, oh, he means it. Last chance. Okay. Last chance for a deal, Iran. Iran's saying, what? Who's calling? We haven't talked to anybody. Yeah, that's not helpful. Okay. We pave paradise and put up a parking lot. Take that any way you want. Fires out west in Washington State. 60,000 evacuations, 600 structures burned. And authorities did, however, arrest an arson suspect. Can you imagine that? I mean, yes, I shouldn't be naive. I know it does happen all the time. But starting a fire that you know, if it gets big enough, not only does it damage all, you know, those forests, but it could kill people and destroy what they've built in their lives. I don't know. I get it. Like, you're a sick little pyro or something? Or is there something else destructive at work here? I don't know. Attorney General nomination. Looks like Todd Blanche is going to get the green light now that he rescinded the controversial anti-weaponization fund. Yes, trying to make everybody happy, get the green light, become the full-time attorney general. And you've also got Ukraine and Russia still. That conflict goes on. 7 people killed, dozens injured after Ukrainian drone struck a crowded beach resort area in Russia amid ongoing warehouse and facility strikes in the region. Ding dong, the dogs go crazy. Is it Avon? No. It is Amazon. Just letting you know, they got a package there for you. Appreciate it. Thanks. Dogs are going crazy. Well, Amazon officially crossed into the $3 trillion market value club, driven by strong growth in AI and cloud computing infrastructure. Hey, I thought we weren't cloud computing anymore. Oh, well, that's something else. Good morning and welcome. Hey, in the Middle East, things are getting even more complicated. I know, believe it or not. Saudi Arabia's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, reportedly called President Trump on Saturday. They're giving him credit for him, the one that's asking President Trump, hey, don't blow up the Islamic Republic of Iran. Not yet. Just hold on. Huh. So that could be a major factor into why President Trump is giving them a last chance. Now, Saudi Arabia is in a tough spot. The Iranian regime continues to hammer the kingdom with drones and missiles, threatening its oil and water resources. But the Saudis have been protected. American warfighters, even Greek air defense teams, have ensured the safety of the Saudi state throughout this conflict. But rather than aligning more closely with us, the Saudis have started to gravitate toward an alliance of basket cases in the Middle East. The alliance is now referred to as STEP, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt, Pakistan. Now, they're all theoretically our allies, right? But they're not exactly working for American interest right now. And the view of the weakening of the Shiite regime in Iran, they look at it as an opportunity to reassert Sunni state dominance in the Muslim world. So while we've got, you know, kind of a straightforward conflict going on, which is, let the Strait of Hormuz be open and you have to eradicate your nuclear program. Those are pretty basic. But, you know, the world is never that simple, and certainly not in the Middle East, as we found out stunningly, in fact, in some ways, with dealing with Iraq and regime change there. Yeah. So there is never anything simple about war. There's never anything simple about regime change. But there's nothing really simple or good about nuclear warfare, launching missiles, which I have no doubt that the Iranians would do if they could get their paws on a nuclear device, which, while they're doing the stall tactic, they may very well be scrambling to at least put something nasty together. That would certainly that certainly is a concern, although it doesn't get talked about very often. I would think that is a concern. All right, so you've got that going on. Cuba, people are suffering there They've had power outages. You know, they've had these going back a long ways, but now for more extended periods of time and happening more often. So Americans who are legally traveling to Cuba should expect major disruptions because of the country's blackout crisis. A statement made by the U.S. Embassy in Havana said that the country is currently experiencing a total power failure due to its electrical grid collapsing. Now, if you have refrigeration that's running on electricity, think about that. The whole country out. Generators? Yeah. Maybe for a little while. But if there was fuel for the grid, there would probably be fuel for the generators or vice versa, but that's part of the problem. No fuel, no electricity. Yeah. U.S. citizens in Cuba or planning to travel to Cuba should be aware and plan accordingly. Yeah, that would be like a solid no for me. The latest outage marks Cuba's sixth nationwide grid failure of 2026. They had three last month alone. Residents currently suffering from intense heat, a lack of air conditioning, with many sleeping outside near the water to escape sweltering temperatures. Cuba's experiencing another. This is another one where its electrical grid collapsed. And they had a high temperature of 93, but it feels like 106 because, you know, the humidity is pretty high. And an average higher humidity, even higher than our humidity, which is hard to believe. Now, Cuba's not a tourism hotspot. I mean, it's still a destination for some visitors from around the world, including some Americans, but U.S. law forbids Americans to travel to Cuba for tourism purposes, although some visits are permitted under a dozen different categories, I think. Things like medical, anything to do with maybe health care, some mission work, I believe, can get done, but mostly like humanitarian, is my understanding. The Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control says Americans may travel to Cuba for purposes including family visits, journalism, education, religious activities, there you go, humanitarian projects, and support for the Cuban people. You know, what the regime considers supportive. All right. So, yeah, it is, it's not good. Cuba has struggled with aging electrical grid for years, recurring fuel shortages contributing to repeated nationwide outages. And Cuban officials have also blamed U.S. sanctions for exacerbating the country's energy crisis, though it's unclear what caused the latest blackout. The reason for the collapse, according to the Cuban regime, the timeline to restore power is not known at this point. I mean, yes, we think of electricity, we think of air conditioning. That's a natural. But I'm thinking, what about refrigeration? Both, you know, in your own, you know, your own home, but also, you know, any kind of markets, anything. The items that need to be refrigerated. Wow. That's going to be a problem moving forward. And it might really turn into a total humanitarian catastrophe. Are we ready for another flotilla? Huh? Does everybody remember that terminology? Okay. All right. Pay attention. Hey, speaking of grocery stores, Mayor Mamdani in New York. Okay. Still, none of these grocery stores have been built. It's all talk so far. But when and if they ever are done, of course, on taxpayer dollars, that will result, supposedly, theoretically, in some of the groceries being sold with as much as a 30% discount. Which, if you're operating margins in the business and you know the business, then, you know, it's 2 to 5%, somewhere in that range. That's it. That's a slim margin. But the government, under Mamdani, they can operate, what, more efficiently? No! But they don't have to show a profit. Publix doesn't show a profit. They go bye-bye. Close the door. But if it's Mamdani style, socialist communism style, why the taxpayers will foot the bill. You don't make a profit? When has government made a profit? Come on! Let's all go grocery shopping. Which, by the way, leads to a whole other problem. You know that the Democrats are against voter ID. They don't want that. They don't want proof of citizenship to be able to vote. So what a quandary that Mamdani found himself in. Because if you don't ask for identification when people come into those stores, what is to keep people from outside of New York taking advantage of lower prices, below market prices, and then taking it home to their family in New Jersey or some other town located outside the city? So you'd have to have ID, right, to make sure only New Yorkers are going to benefit from New York taxed grocery store. No. No IDs. That's how strongly they feel about the voter thing. And I guess he doesn't care if a bunch of outsiders come in and get cheap groceries. Because he's not paying for it. The taxpayers are. All the big stories, it's all coming up. All your headlines. Special guests coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about that coming up next on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. I always look out the window, you know, when I'm about to go on the air and just to try to get some idea what's going on. Man, they are steamed over. That's how humid it is. Just steamed over. So hang in there, my friends. It's going to be another great day. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's starting out a little bit on the humid side indeed. Hey, it's 8:51. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday brought to you by Waste Pro, caring for our communities. I mentioned earlier, Jacksonville, number 5 on the list of the most romantic cities in the U.S. Yeah, Jacksonville. Has to do with the coastline, waterfront restaurants, things like that. It's search engines that people use and use the word romantic or other things like that. But it was actually New York City that won. And yes, they did like a per capita thing. So they didn't win because of, you know, having, you know, more people. They won based on the parameters of this thing. But anyway, hey, Jacksonville coming in number 5 in the whole nation for being romantic. Very nice. Wow, who thought that a Jags game would be so? Well, maybe it's not just that. All right. Florida Chief Financial Officer Blazin Golia, what is he doing hanging out in South Carolina? Hey, we're paying you to get stuff done here in Florida. By the way, I think he's a great guy, and I think he's doing a heck of a job as a chief financial officer personally. And we've spoke to him many, many times. But he signed a memorandum of understanding with federal law enforcement officials in South Carolina to bolster joint efforts against nationwide financial fraud. This just, it's like a multiplier of forces. You get everybody, you know, that has their piece of the puzzle or something comes up, and then you start to connect the dots. It makes the job of the local officials easier, more efficient, more productive. Same thing in reverse with the feds. The agreement signed between the Florida State Treasury and the U.S. Department of Justice National Fraud Enforcement Division, it's designed to enhance cooperation between the state and federal agencies to detect and investigate financial crimes. Under the agreement, state and federal authorities will share publicly available payment transaction data maintained by the Florida State Treasury. The information will be used to support fraud prevention, criminal investigations, financial crime analysis, and other law enforcement activities aimed at dismantling organized fraud schemes. Golia finalized the deal during a trip to South Carolina, where he participated in a regional roundtable with financial and law enforcement officials from 6 other southeastern states. States that we don't like during football season, but we still have a couple of weeks, so I can mention them. Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Yep. So this is a good thing. Fraudsters continue to plague our country by deceiving victims to put money into their own wallets, according to Ingolia in a statement. By solidifying our partnership with the Department of Justice, we can enhance our capabilities and root out and detect fraud faster. This collaboration sends a clear message that we are a united front with our federal government and law enforcement partners. So, another thing that makes, you know, the South great again, that also we want this fraud and waste rooted out. You know, when I don't know about you, but when you pay your taxes, you're kind of like, you know, you feel like it's going into this empty hole. We're $40 trillion of debt. It's like, gosh, I so much would use that money more effectively and efficiently than the government is and would. But anyway, it's guys like Ingolia working hard on our behalf to try to make things right. And knowing that that is a daunting task. And then there's things that are done, you know, even to the light of day that turn out to be, well, I guess, wasteful might be the term. And that is then governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, he struck a deal with a Vietnamese electric vehicle manufacturer called VinFast. Well, this deal, they were committing like $1.2 billion of taxpayer money. I don't know how much of that would be, say, a tax incentive, because that doesn't hurt to offer that. If the deal doesn't come to fruition, nobody's really hurt by it. But I believe there may have been some cash incentives here. But anyway, the bottom line is that VinFast, this Vietnamese company, had agreed to build a factory and create jobs for North Carolinians, and it didn't, well, it followed through with neither. The attorney general filed a lawsuit on behalf of the State Commerce Department. Back in 2022, Cooper and many others, because he's a Democrat, like him, were so excited about the idea of electric cars. Oh, yeah. They quickly, were enamored by this idea of a clean energy economy, which I know it doesn't completely follow through like we were sold on. But anyway, this project was supposed to bring a lot of jobs to the state. And they also said it's a win-win because, you know, it's good for the environment, right? Sort of. Anyway, they promised the largest economic development project in North Carolina history. That was a slide deck that was prepared by the company. And they said it would produce 7,500 full-time jobs. Now, that is substantial. The company held a groundbreaking ceremony at the facility in 2023, but work at the site was consistently behind schedule, fueling questions about whether this company was really committed to the deal. Yep, by 2024, the whole electric vehicle tax credit thing was going away, and so that company basically went away. 9 o'clock stretch coming up next. Hang on.